I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Let's see if we can finish up on these scriptures in Romans chapter 8. And tonight we can begin around verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we are beginning to sum up our series, which has to do with rediscovering the glory. Amen. The church, in its inception, didn't have to be convinced that we should be walking in the glory. The church, in its inception, in the very beginning, had glorious things to happen on the first day that the Holy Spirit came and filled the disciples in the upper room, and 3,000 souls were added. That's pretty good beginning for a new church in one day. Praise the Lord. It's a pretty good beginning. And since we're supposed to be doing greater things than that, we ought to be expecting more to happen today. And there are many things today that speak to us out of Christian experience that try to convince us that that can't happen again. And now, the reason I bring that up is because the Holy Spirit directs me to just say some things about choices that have to be made, commitments that have to be made, you know, and sacrifices that have to be made in order for these types of things to take place. If you go back and you study church history, which is something Gene and I like to do, look at some of the great men and women of old, those out of the 18th into the 19th century that were used of God, you'll find that some great commitments, choices, and sacrifices had to be made in order for them to carry the kind of awareness of God which produced a specific kind of anointing, which also enabled them to do greater works than Jesus. Amen. They were able to do greater works than the Lord did. You know, there are some in the church today that don't think that we've done greater works than the Lord Jesus. But we have. We have. The problem is that the church has lost sight in so many ways of that glorious experience. And we have, from within, taught doctrines of men to chip away at the reality of the glory to the extent that we're saying that God doesn't do certain things anymore because we have advanced to a new level. Well, I really believe we backslid, you know, back to the point where the Holy Ghost hadn't even came. I believe that the church on the whole, I'm not talking about, there are great things happening in some third world countries and some other lands, you know, but on a whole still, you go to Great Britain, you go to England, you go to some of these major countries in the United States of America as well, and you will see lethargy, you will see a deadness, just rampant in the church, just rampant. And it seems like that believers, you can't find believers that are shocked because of the state of affairs of the church. You can't find them that are shocked, you know? Now, listen, when you have church growth, when you have people attracted to church where they can get up into the thousands without teaching them fundamental doctrines that establish them in the body of Christ with strength, with knowledge of their purpose and their destiny. If you can attract thousands of people to your church without getting down to business and leading them to deeper spiritual insights and experiences in God, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with that. Now, we've got to recognize where we've fallen to. And you can't realize where you've fallen to unless you realize where you've fallen from. Amen? We've fallen from a very strong, pertinent, relative place, you know, from the first church. Because those individuals, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, were able to do things with very few miracles. And it turned cities on its heel to look into what God was doing. Today, you can be healed of something and people won't believe it. They won't even believe it. They won't believe your testimony. They believe that you're just a fanatical religious person and you just don't want to give the doctors and the medicines and the advancements that we have in the world today credit for your restoration and health. That's the kind of attitudes that we've developed. We're gospel hardened. So we've fallen from a great high place. Amen. I told you to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. You know, ultimately, from God's perspective, even in the environment that I just described to you, this scripture does work. But it doesn't bring everybody to the brink of what God really wants to have unfolded as His church in the earth realm. Because there are going to be many Christians that are going to be satisfied with the little that they have until they go on to glory. See? So what has to happen, just like some of these 18th and 19th century renowned giants of the faith were able to move whole cities and regions, you know, through their obedience to Christ, just like that, there's going to be some of us that are going to have to make some great commitments. We're going to have to make some deep choices and some great sacrifices. Now, don't let people, you know, discourage you in this, because they're going to get into the works thing. That's the first thing that they want to throw out. Well, you're talking about doing some work so that God might do something. No, it's aligning yourself, right? It's aligning yourself mentally. Amen. It's aligning yourself spiritually, right? And it's aligning yourself physically to the will of God. See, you've got to think this way, right? You've got to think this way. And then by the Spirit, you have to allow the Holy Ghost to transition you to this way. And then you've got to discipline your body to walk this way. Amen? That's the call of God. And I'll tell you, you know, time hasn't got anything to do with this. Because God, out of His desire, will not even take any notice of time when His children are flowing in this direction. And we can talk about prophecies being fulfilled in times and windows and zones all we want to. You can talk about prophecy all you want to. But we are supposed to be prophets. You got me now. Amen. We can talk about prophecy being fulfilled, the day, the time, and the age, and this is about to happen, and it could be fulfilling this scripture. That's all well and good. But we're not seeing what the Lord has destined us to see yet. Apart from those things that point to the end, that say that it's all culminating and coming to a place where such and such has to begin. Or this is going to reveal this, that, or the other. All that stuff is interesting. But where are the people that are aligning themselves with God? Amen. Making the choices, making the commitment, making the sacrifice. Where are those people? Come on, that are receiving this message and it's affecting them mentally in their thoughts. It's affecting them spiritually in their commitment to Christ and in their worship, in their giving. Come on, in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And then allowing God to plant them exactly where they need to be physically so that they can be aligned with Him, like they used to say in the old church, under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. Amen. So that they can be directed in their purpose and in their destiny to fulfill what God's ordained for them. See, you're going to get into some scripture here in just a moment that has to do with God foreordaining and God foreknowing something. Those hard choices, those commitments, and that sacrifice is coming to you because it's foreordained of God. It's because He foreknew you and He had a destiny plan for you to walk in and fulfill. This is all coming about simply because this is all in God's plan that He had for you because He had foreknowledge of you. Before the foundation of the very world that we live in. Amen. Now let's read it again. We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor. That labor involves these things that I've just described to you. That I've spoken, that you've just taken note of. Those things, this is where we're laboring. Or we're entering into labor with God. We're entering into it. That's more correct because we're getting a foretaste of it now. But we're entering into that place of labor in partnership with God. Now that's bringing the pressure. That's bringing the sanctification. That's bringing the consecration. That's bringing the things to your mind and your heart as you hear God calling. And when God calls you in this, choices are being made as He calls you. Commitments are being made as He calls you. You understand what I'm saying? It's all in the calling. Amen. And even though in your life, the way you're living right now, there are some things that, you know, that you didn't realize would be so hard for you to let go of. You didn't realize that some simple little things would be so difficult for you to just let go of and just, God, just take it. You know? You didn't realize that. See? But we don't recognize the power of any type of stronghold, whether it's good or evil, until God begins to intervene in our life and begin to position us for our destiny. Then we begin to realize, my God, I wouldn't think that. See, this is why the Bible says that we ought to cast off every little weight that so easily besets us. So this is common stuff that we don't count to be all that wicked, all that heavy. We might not even be recognizing it as a stronghold. See, but some of the greatest strongholds that we have are those where we have to make a choice. In the areas of choice making, in the areas of commitment, in the areas of sacrifice. Hallelujah. See, now that's going to have to be some sowing on our part. Amen. We're going to believe God for, you know, our deliverance and our entrance into the greater things. But there's going to have to be some activity on our part in sowing. That's a part of the choices that we have to make. Because when you really believe in something, then you got to put your money where your mouth is. Amen. You're going to have to do some sowing for something in God other than your prosperity. You know, your freedom from debt. Come on. Sow for something other than getting that mortgage paid off. Right? I honestly believe This is seeking God's kingdom first. When you begin to think on those things that concern God and your destiny, and you begin to sow toward those things, then I think it becomes easier for you to look up and realize, I don't have another payment on that thing. How did that happen? Because you now are consecrating on seeking and putting the kingdom of God first in your life. See, he said, I'll add to you some things when you put this first. I think we ought to pray and ask God, okay, Lord, you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now show me in my life personally how I can do that. Show me what you want me to seek first in regard to this scripture. Show me what that is. He might surprise you. He might surprise you. I'm serious. He may surprise you because we seem to think about things on our own that we think are so great, right? Things that are really something that we need to pay. We come up with some things on our own that we think is putting God first. But have we asked him, how can I put the kingdom first? What would, because it's a multiple type of a task. And so therefore, it would be overwhelming for you to do all of those things at once. So if I ask him, how do I do this? I'm talking about me, God. This is Ford speaking to you. I'll just accept this as my prayer right now, Lord, before these people. This is Ford talking to you, your child, your son. I have citizenship in your heaven. I belong to you. Jesus is my elder brother. And I have an inheritance with him that I'm sharing. Hallelujah. This is all mine, Lord. Now, I need you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, to show me how to put your kingdom first. I need instruction. And you said if I asked for wisdom, you would give it to me without upbraiding. Hallelujah. And you said you'd do it liberally. Now I receive by faith my wisdom in how to put your kingdom first and the steps that I need to take. And I receive it by faith tonight, right here before this congregation, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Lord. Hallelujah. Now see, I believe that's how you've got to personalize it. Now, I believe he'll do it. I asked him, and I believe I have it by faith. Amen. So, and it may not be what I'm thinking about. Because after all, if I told him I didn't know what it was, then I'm not supposed to be, amen, presuming on God and trying to tell God what I'm going to do to put his kingdom first. I just asked him to show me. So now I'm open. I believe I received it by faith, and I will see it and be able to testify to you about it if that is the right thing to do. If it's not the right thing to do, then I won't tell you nothing. I'll just tell you that I got my answer. Now you get yours. Because you see, sometimes I can give you my answer and you'll try to claim my answer for your answer, because if it'll work for Pastor, then it ought to work for me. No, 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 no. We're all different. Amen. I might be crazier than you. I'm far out there. So I may have some commitments in some areas, right, that I'm not thinking about, that you wouldn't even think about when you think about me. So praise God. Are you getting something in this? All right. Now you see, then we enter into that labor with him. Because now I have agreed with him in those areas of seeking first the kingdom of God that he wants me to specifically hone in on. Until I've done that, am I laboring with him? Not in actuality, not in perfection. In a general sense, I'm laboring with him because I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I worship him. Come on now, you see what I'm saying? There are some things in general that we all do as the body of Christ that we're in agreement with, but now God is a God of perfection. Hallelujah. Amen. And I mean, the Apostle Paul wanted to go minister to some places, and the Holy Ghost said, you know, he didn't say, you know, you can't go in there. He forbade them from going into certain areas that needed their ministry. And then they received word to go into other places that they weren't thinking about. That's putting the kingdom first. That's putting the kingdom first. You just don't go join somebody and go on a mission trip with them just because they're your bud. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, it would be nice. It'd be good for you. You'd probably learn something. But is it putting the kingdom first? Amen. See, that's a good way to just shed off of you what God's dealing with you to do, because you're going to help somebody else. And you can call it mission. And it sounds spiritual. And now you got that on your resume. You can tell people, I went to Haiti. Right? But is that your ordained destiny in God? Amen. Find out what yours is. Hallelujah. Now, see, all of this is pointing us toward a place where we're in a more perfect way, partnering with God and laboring with him. I don't think you can labor with God doing your own thing. God ain't going to labor with you doing your own thing. He'll look at you like, I don't need those tools to do that. Come, you got a hammer and a crowbar, and God's over here with some power tools, you know. Amen? See? All right. We need to get to the place where we are assured and we know. Amen. We are assured and we know that God being a partner in their labor, our labor, that all things work together and are fitting into a plan. Now watch this. We have used that scripture and tagged it onto everything that happens to us in life. So I know it's going to work out for my good somehow or another. Yep. That's what we try to make the scripture fit our own agenda. That's not the way that scripture was given. That scripture talking about purpose and destiny. You see, we're laboring in our issues. Amen. We're laboring in the drama that we create. That's right. You know, in our life as it happens. Amen. When we're supposed to be creating something. Amen. See, I believe God can give you a vision of what he's called you to. And you, by agreeing with God, can create there on the mission field or wherever God has placed you and whatever he's called you to, what he wants to be there. See, I mean, just let me just go into this just a little bit more. Because we talked about it the last time. The Bible says in Matthew, I believe it's 18, that we can bind and loose, right? Now, the reason that you can bind is because you have knowledge of what is legal to bind. You can't bind something that's not legal for you to bind, right? For instance, you can't bind angels, can't bind Jesus, can't bind me. Amen. Now, let's just get on this now. When it comes to binding, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, that's the King James Version translation of that scripture. But more accurately translated from the Hebrew, you understand what is in heaven that God wants you to say when he says, you pray my kingdom come and my will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. So you have knowledge of what is in heaven, and if what you're experiencing on earth does not agree with what's in heaven, then you have the right to bind that. Is that clear? All right. So because you have insight into what is in heaven, and you, in your experience on earth, need that reality in your life and ministry. then you have the legal right to loose that which is in heaven on earth. Do you see that? Amen. Now, there's a lot of Christians binding stuff they ain't got no business binding, and loosening things they ain't got no business loosening, because they're only earthly minded. They are not heavenly minded and thinking on those things above to get a proper view of what reality or that's a good way to put it, that what reality at present that God wants you to be aware of, that he wants you to loose on earth. Listen, you can't loose all of heaven on earth right now, right away. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't do that. See, there are things that are going to happen according to the scripture. And your loosening it is not going to interrupt God's plan. It just will not happen. I'm talking about you and I having revelation. Now, listen to me now. Because this is pointing toward your destiny and your purpose. You got to think in terms of your destiny and your purpose before you get wrapped up in thinking about things that you want personally. You got to put the kingdom first. So this calls you to a place of making a choice, making a commitment, making a sacrifice, so that you can operate in the power of binding and loosening for the kingdom's sake first. Amen. See? Now, if we apply it that way, then what I desire is just going to be added to me. I don't have to use the power of binding and loosening to get what I want. You see that? But that's what we've been doing. We've been using the scriptures the wrong way, thinking about our lives personally. Now, I realize some ministers has advanced in this, and they've prospered so much that, and they've talked about it to encourage us in it. But, you know, they would like to always be also be able to share with you the grace that was involved in their getting what they got by faith. You know, what needs to happen is there need to be a conversation about what was I doing to obey God when this blessing was added to me. Don't just talk about the blessing was added to me debt free without talking to me about what I had to sow my life to in order for that to be released to me. That's important. Otherwise, you get a distorted view of prosperity. You get a distorted view of how God wants to bless you and add to your life. He's teaching us something. He's not wanting to prosper you without you being engaged in ministry in the kingdom. Being an actual active part of bringing the kingdom of heaven to bear on earth. He's not wanting you to just prosper apart from that, because then you'll make that a god. Amen. And you'll worship that. And all you'll do is talk about how to get somebody some wealth. Amen. How to get them a new home. How to get them debt free. That's all you'll talk about. There won't be any more depth to your message than that. And even though all of that can be scriptural and can be true, it is not kingdom minded from God's perspective when it comes down to Matthew 6:33. It's not. I know I said a mouthful, but you can hear it, or else I wouldn't be saying it. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're talking about laboring with God in this way. And then you see it fits into God's plan. What is the plan? Psalm 139, verse 16. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Right? And he had already prepared your ministry for you, your life for you, your family for you, your finances for you. Everything that you can think of is already written in those books and prepared for you. And he wants to capture us in such a way that we begin to live out of that revelation. He can communicate that revelation to each and every one of us, and he's doing it to some of us without us being aware that it's already written in his books, because he's working with someone whose heart is bent in such a way toward him that he can use them. So he'll go ahead and use them and let them catch up on the revelation as they go. I mean, that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. The things that he was preaching, nobody taught him that. God had to take the revelation that he had in the Torah under the old covenant and give him a Holy Ghost experience in intimacy with him where he could show. And the critical, pinnacle, pivotal point of all of the stuff that he was able to be immersed into to teach us was the fact that Jesus was the Christ. That's why he met him on the road to Damascus the way that he did. And he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he had to say, who are you, Lord? Because that's the last thing he was thinking, that he was persecuting Jesus. He thought he was persecuting a bunch of heretics, fanatics, and false prophets. And Jesus said, no, it's me. But who are you? He said, Jesus. And he was speechless after that. He said, he realized that what he had been doing, it all came in on the man. And you know God's able to do that. That's what happened to you when you got saved. I mean, the Holy Ghost just crashed it all in on you on a moment. And honey, you couldn't get to the flow fast enough to pray. Right? And he began to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he called him Lord. Called him Lord. You'll do that at salvation. Now, later on, when you get to messing up with religion, Jesus, quit calling him Lord. Amen. Don't respect him. Quit calling him Master. Now he's a friend. I'm a friend to God. That's all good, well and good, but now how are you singing it? See? You gotta, if you don't know your purpose, you don't really know him in the friendship that he wants you to know him in. Amen. I'm glad he's your friend because you are saved. Amen. Because if you weren't a friend in friendship with him in regard to salvation, you wouldn't be here and you would be in a mess. Amen. You'd be a very difficult person right now. Amen. But now you are under the canopy of the blessing. So now what happens here is that because I'm concentrating on purpose, because I'm concentrating on seeking the kingdom first, it's fitting into a plan for my life. See? It's fitting into a plan. We were just rejoicing over the fact that all things work together for our good and was fitting into a plan because we're called of God. But you got to answer the call. Have you answered the call? I saw somebody the other night ministering. And it was you. Yeah, I saw ministering at a conference. And it was mostly young people there. And it was you. They was just wearing white skin. That's all. And they had straight hair. Yeah. But it was you. It was your anointing. Yeah, it was your anointing. And you got to find that on your own. You know, the Lord has released me to say that to you. But your ministry is before you. You just have to accept it and then begin to make the choices, make the commitments, and make the sacrifices that's necessary for you to carry the anointing. Because you got a great ministry ahead of you, brother. Yes, you do. Yeah. Amen. All right now. Praise God. So now it's fitting into a plan when I begin to view it in this way. It'll fit into a plan for good. Good for the kingdom first. Watch this now. And then good for me. You understand that, right? You got to think in terms of kingdom first. Just like you go to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Good for the kingdom first, then for me. Right? Because I do love God and I'm called and I've accepted his call. You can do that by faith, by the way. Feelings don't have to be involved in it. Don't go on some kind of long journey where you're having to seek God about it, pray about it, fast about it, and all that stuff. Just accept it by faith and then God will unravel the thing for you and it'll be so easy for you to do it. It'll just make you just shake your head and go, my God, I didn't know. Lord Jesus, thank you. And just go on. Amen? That's the way it works. He didn't call us into something that's hard. No, 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 no. The hard stuff is when I'm resisting God. Amen. That's when it gets hard. For it is God who is all the while at work within you, both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Amen. He does the work. I just step over there and say, here I am. You can use me. Amen. I just step over there into the light, you know. Here I am, Lord. Come out of the closet. Here I am, Lord. Amen. When he turns the light on, go in the room. Praise God. He also destined from the beginning, there's that word, foreordaining them. This is destiny. From the beginning was before he laid the foundation of the earth. That's the beginning. See? When he, in his heart, determined who was going to do what. The angels didn't know it. Nobody knew this but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And isn't it amazing? But I'm glad it's that way, because that's the only kind of God I want to serve. That God knew us before the foundation of the world, and he even knew that this would take place tonight, and I'd be ministering this word in the way that I'm ministering, and you'd be receiving what you're receiving and making choices, making commitments, and willing to make the sacrifice. He knew it before it ever took place. Foreordaining you. Say, he's foreordained me. Point to your neighbor and say, he's foreordained you. He'll foreordained you. To what? To be molded. Right? You feel like you're being molded tonight? See, when revelation begins to come out about you and about your responsibility, that's hands-on. He is. Listen. The scripture says in the Young's literal translation. I read it just yesterday. In the Young's literal translation, it says not that you are the workmanship of God. It says you are his workmanship. I'm God's workmanship. It's very to the in your face. You are workmanship. That's molding. That's hands on. Amen. But we've been operating like that passage over there in the prophets where he put the clay on the wheel and he began to do some stuff and we started yelling, hey, what you making? What you making? And the clay ain't got no business talking to the potter like that. Right? That's why he stops the wheel, takes the clay off and break it. Break it and just make it in little pieces, put it back into some liquid, get you all nice and maneuverable again. And like he said, I'll give you a heart of flesh. That's because he can take the flesh and squeeze it so that it'll go in the direction he wants it to go in. If it's a stone and hard, he'd have to break it, right? So he gets you back like that, where you are maneuverable and he can get you in his hand. He puts you right back on that machine again and begins to turn that thing and he begins to shape you again. And if you know what? This is really the way that it is. This is exactly the way that it is. Must have been a Christian that did this commercial. You know that commercial about certain kind of cheese? If it ain't aged just right and it starts saying all that crazy stuff, nope, it ain't ready yet. Amen. I know I'm sharp cheddar. I know what I am. I'm sharp. And my wife is extra sharp. She's extra sharp cheddar. Amen. Praise the Lord. All my white brothers and sisters are provolone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love you too. But you see, you get yourself in a place now by agreeing with the revelation, and he molds us into the image. See, he likes to make things in his image. Now, we've already been told out of Genesis that God, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus said, let us make mankind in our image and after our likeness. Now, watch this. Watch this. Now, he was able to do that with Adam. And Adam was the first perfect man that was ever created in the image of God. And so was Eve. Eve became man. She was the kind, K-I-N-D, on mankind. Because man was made, Adam. Everything. Man is the foundation. Everything's comes out of Adam. See? So Cain, this is the woman, so she made it mankind. All right? Now, but when God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, he didn't fail because Adam failed. And he's not done because Adam's done. See, he began the process of creating man in his image again after the last Adam came. After the last Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, came and fulfilled all of the will of God, paid the ultimate price in the sacrifice of his life, and died being contaminated with all of our sins, and was buried, when the host died, being Jesus, then the sin died. And then when God raised him from that death, he raised up Jesus into newness of life. He's the first one born again from death. See, you were born again from death. You were walking dead men. And you were born again from death, just like Jesus. And Paul is the only one that says, now we've entered into a place where we are a new living species. Specimen of what God has ordained and desires to populate the whole planet with. And not only this planet, but the whole universe. You are, I am, we is a new specimen. Amen. We've been raised up to live in the new and living way. And because we are agreeing with the plan of God for our lives, what God said in the beginning, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, is taking place in us now because we're being molded into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only is he doing this, you know, in an outward way. I mean, you look better than you did when you were in sin. Yes, you do. You look a lot better than you did when you were living in sin. You're handsome. You're pretty. You got a glow on you. But God's not satisfied with just doing something outwardly on you. He wasn't satisfied with Adam. Adam was made perfectly, even though he's made out of the clay of the earth. But he was a perfect man, even in his physical body. But God went a step further, and he breathed into Adam his very essence. Guess what his essence is? The Holy Ghost. Yeah, Adam had the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He had the very essence of God in him. See? And God gives you and I an opportunity to receive that essence. You have not been made complete for the journey of being molded into the image of Jesus until you ask him by faith to receive the immersion of yourself into the Holy Ghost. How can you be perfectly made in the image of God if you only have 2/3 of him? Come on now, you can go get that at a bargain church. A yard sale church. You hear what I'm saying? But if you're going to get it, the real thing, you got to go to the real church. It's expensive up in that kind of church. There ain't no cheap stuff, no fish fries and all that kind of stuff going on in that church. Come on now. You understand what I'm saying? No yard sale. Come on. We're not playing bingo. Amen. We're believing God for the real thing up in here. Amen. He went further with you and I so that we could share inwardly his likeness. Inwardly his likeness. That he might become, that Jesus now, might become the firstborn among many brethren. If he's the firstborn among many brethren, then we're supposed to have the same thing Jesus had. Amen. We're supposed to have every bit the same thing he had. That's why you can have a sound mind. That's why your body can be absolutely 100% completely whole. That's why you can have all of the finances you need, because Jesus was never broke. Jesus was so prosperous, he had to enlist Judas to be his treasurer. to handle his money, because he didn't want to just sit around all the time counting it. He just made sure he had plenty of it to deal it out to the poor. Amen. So you're going to prosper. But get in purpose, get in destiny, just like Jesus did, so that you have an unending amount of the provision of God. If he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides, why are so many people in the body of Christ doing without so much? It's because we're not tied into this the way the scripture intends for us to be tied into it. Verse 30. And those whom he thus foreordained. So you say, you're talking about me now. He also called. You're talking about me now. And those whom he called. You're talking about me now. He also justified. You're talking about my mama. You can talk about my mama like that now. You're talking about me now. Come on, he acquitted you. He made you righteous. He put you in the right standing with himself. Shout about it, somebody. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity. Now, I'm walking in that. I got a heavenly dignity on my life. How about you? Amen. I walk into the room, people look, because the heavenly dignity just walked in. You know, you can actually say that you're a dignitary. I'm looking at dignitaries. Dignity, dignitary, the same word, but a heavenly one. Amen. Praise the Lord. They go to the airport. They say, I'm sorry, sir, all of those seats are filled. And we don't have. Yes, you do. Just check your records. A dignitary is supposed to show up and you have a seat waiting for me. I am that dignitary. Amen. And go on, get on the plane. First class. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. To a heavenly dignity? How about this? A heavenly condition. Woo! I'm living in a heavenly condition. Glory to God. Now, if you're living in a heavenly condition, then you're not subject to circumstances. Amen. Amen. Here people say, well, how are you doing? Well, pretty good, you know, considering the circumstances I'm under. What are you doing under there? Why are you down under there? Circumstances should be circumstance to you. Amen. Circumstances change because you are in a heavenly condition. You are a dignitary. Things change because of you. Can you see yourself that way? They change because of you. I mean, if you've been made the righteousness of God, if you've been put in the right standing with God, if, listen, you believe this, don't you? Don't you believe if the Lord Jesus Christ literally, physically walked into this room, every molecule, every ounce of fabric, every bit of mortar and wood and electronics would pay attention to every word that fell from his lips? They would watch every movement that he made, because he is God. You have everything that he has. Everything is subject to you. We've already read it, that all of creation is waiting on us to get the revelation in sonship that we're supposed to be operating in, so that they can get some relief. Amen. You are in a heavenly condition. You are in a heavenly state of being. You're already there. We are not seeking something that we don't already have. And that's why a lot of people never finish their course and do God's will, because they never see themselves free of condemnation. And all of this stuff, well, I'm not worthy. Amen. Come to this church so I can slap you. If you listen to this on the radio, please come to this church so I can slap. I've been wanting to hit somebody. You just need your jaw slapped. In love. My kind of love. What then shall we say to all this? See, now with this revelation, what shall we say to all this? If God be for us, not in that drama, he ain't for you. No, 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 because he's not into sowing unto the flesh. Right? But now, if you're operating in this revelation, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, the reason why that's important is because if God be for us, who can be against us means who can be against me in what God's called me to do? Amen? Now, listen now. This is deep, but it's true. Listen, even if I go to transition and God change and direct me in another direction and doing what I'm doing, I'm being successful because I'm obeying him to go in another direction. See, now some people that's not connected to the things of God will look at that, well, he failed, so he had to quit. No, sir, Jesus told his disciples before they even got filled with the Holy Ghost, you go into one city and they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. Right? Paul went from city to city. He got out of some of them cities before they beat him up. He got out of some of them before he got hurt. Because it was time to go. Amen. You got to listen in regard to your destiny and your purpose. You know, you got to listen to God and make hard choices based on what your destiny is, not your pride and your ego. Who could care? I care less what people think about stuff like that. They didn't call me, and they haven't been providing for me. They haven't been meeting the mortgage note. They haven't been meeting the tax bills. They haven't been meeting all of the other responsibilities overhead and taking care of a ministry, and yet they believe they got the right to judge me and in what I'm doing. Amen. That sounds like somebody else needs to be slapped, but I won't do it. I love my enemy. I'll put my hand in my pocket. Praise the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? Watch this. Who can be our foe if God is on our side? That sounds like I don't have to fight in this battle. You don't even qualify to be a foe because I'm not even going to fight in this battle. And you're no match for my God. So you're not even qualifying to be a foe, devil. A person inspired by the devil. See, I don't even have to think in terms of fighting people, fighting the devil. You wasting time. You can be worshiping God while you're doing all that stuff. And that's why I said about prayer, some people go to prayer as if something's wrong in heaven. They storm heaven with a lot of loud stuff, taking authority over stuff. Ain't nothing in heaven for you to take authority over. Who are you praying to? Now, if you was praying to the devil, then you could do that. But you ain't going to get nothing by praying to the devil. Amen? You ought to be talking sweet if you're going before God. Amen? He the one providing for you. You ought to talk real sweet to him. You raising your voice to your father? That's disrespectful. Amen. All right, verse 32. We're going to try to get to the end of this chapter if it takes us two services to go. We're going to get there. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with the same son, right, that he did not withhold, that he did not spare, that he gave up, with that son, he will freely and graciously give us all other things. Right? See, Jesus is giving you graciously all other things mandated by God because God is saying you went through that so they could have it. Now give it to them. See? So the Lord is not withholding anything from those who love him. No good thing will our Lord withhold from those whom he loves. He is sitting on the edge of his chair wanting to bless you and bring you into great things. But he has to align you in your mind and your heart with your destiny first and foremost, because if you get the blessing without the wisdom, it will destroy you.
Amen.
It'll destroy you. Amen. The anointing is strong.
Oh, yes.
Amen. It'll destroy yokes. Right? If you get connected to a yoke and won't let it go, guess what happened? You never thought about it like that, have you? You see, but if you get in the flesh about these things, you get yoked up with the yoke. And the fatness of the anointing destroys the yoke. So God don't want you to be destroyed with yokes. So he brings you wisdom. Amen. So you get yoked up with him. Amen. Boy, there's some good stuff in here. Who, verse 33, we're closing. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? So you don't have to think about what people say about you then, do you? If it's settled in you that nobody can bring a charge against you when you are doing the perfect will of God. You know, this is strong, but it's true. Even in my pursuit of putting the kingdom first, I can make mistakes. Because you come under such pressure. And the thing that is the weakest point in your life, the devil will take advantage of that because you're putting God first. Right? So you could make some mistakes. I mean, you study some of those guys from the 18th and 19th century and look at the mistakes they made, but also weigh that up against the works that they were doing. Man, some of them, there was a couple of those guys like Jack Cole that believed he was Elijah. William Branham, I believe, believed that he was Elijah that was to come before Jesus. Why did they believe that? Because they had such a zest for God. They had such a zeal to do God's will. And God was giving them miracles, signs, and wonders. And it went to their head in that respect. See? They wanted to believe that. And I believe that there are some people that's called Branhamites that still look for him to come back, be raised from the dead. So he's out there in his grave. And they get together and they believe that sometime he's going to come back as Elijah because they believed it too. So you can make some mistakes, but God doesn't count you out because you do. See, if we'll let him work with us, we'll overcome our mistakes. See, we'll overcome our mistakes and we'll just keep trekking right on in to our destiny, our purpose. Amen. I just wanted to throw that in because you see, this is what knocks a lot of people out of the race for God. They say junk like I'm not worthy. And then when they make a mistake, all of those confessions about not being worthy crowd in on them in condemnation. And they just cannot see themselves being lifted up to get back in the race with God because of the mistake that they've made. God's not going to throw you out with the bathwater, but we are going to wash them dogs until they get clean. Amen. Amen. Remember that old story, that boy put them dogs in that wind-up washing machine? And they started hollering, oh, 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 oh. And they said, boy, what are you doing? I'm going to wash these dogs if it's the last thing I do. And I believe that's what the Holy Ghost is saying. He's going to wash you until there ain't nothing else for him to do. And you're going to be squeaky clean because he's going to send you through that strainer on that old washing machine. And he's going to get all of that old mess out of you and you're going to come out of that skinny for Jesus. Who can condemn us? Will Jesus, the Messiah who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? No. Who shall separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation or calamity and distress? You should be saying no. Persecution or hunger or destitution? No. Peril or sword? No. Absolutely not. Hallelujah. For I am persuaded. No, he says this. Yet amid all. Where am I? Verse 36. Even as it is written. That guy showed me how much time I had and it messed me up. Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. But how are you put to death? I'm going to stop on that and end this. How are you put to death? You are put to death in the reality of those things that are standing in your way to getting in your purpose. That's what's being put to death. See, you're allowing the Spirit of God to take charge and authority over some things that have been getting in your way, keeping you from your destiny, keeping you from your purpose. Amen. That's the only death you can die, honey. You're a spirit being in Christ. He said, those that believe on me shall never die. That's the only thing that can die is the things that keep you from your purpose. So I welcome that death. How about you? Come on, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.